Running an online business is hard enough without the stress and time consumption of managing hosting. Whether managing one WordPress site or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions offer speed, enterprise-grade security, and an intuitive dashboard. With 24/7, 365 human-only expert support, get peace of mind that your sites stay online, secure, and performing their best. Start today and get your first month free with migrations handled for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's kinsta.com/podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are picking up on our book club pick, Leadership as an Identity, The Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence, written by Crawford W. Loritz. The link to the book is in the show notes. We're halfway done. And I didn't even realize this until today. Today we're going to be hopping into chapter 9, but there are 16 chapters in the book. So we were halfway through last week and I didn't even realize it. Now I have to think about what our next book club pick is going to be. So if you have any recommendations, email them to me, Tatum@TatumTamia.com. I want to do a faith-based book next. So we went from Battlefield of the Mind over into this book. Now I want to go back to a book that is more so about faith. I'm thinking about maybe an apologetics book because that was something I wanted to personally read next, or a book on heaven or eternity. I don't know. We'll see. But I do want one that is less about leadership or business and more so about the foundations of the faith. So we'll see what I come up with. I'll pray about it and keep you guys posted. But I pray that you have been enjoying this book club pick so far. I have been enjoying this book, all types of tore up from me carrying it everywhere, writing it, and my kids done wrote in it. But I have definitely been blessed by it. And I hope you have as well. If you are just tuning in or if you have not bought the book yet, click the link in the show notes and go ahead and get it. Even if you don't catch up in time with us, I still think that this is a great book for any leader who is a Christian to have in their library. And as usual, even if you don't have the book, I try to do each episode to where it connects and you can understand the message without reading the pages. Quick thing before we hop into the message, thank you to everybody who has reached out about working with me and my Purpose to Podcast program. This is my mentorship program for new and aspiring podcasters. This is for those who want to work with me, not just as your strategist and your coach for your podcast, but also as your mentor, someone that will help you grow in your leadership, your influence, and personally as well. If you are interested in learning more or working with me, click the link in the show notes. You can learn more about the program. You can apply and everything right from that link. If you're listening to this and it's past Wednesday, February 19th, that's when we officially start. But if you're listening to this on the podcast and it's past that date and you still want to join us, then I will keep the applications open to the end of the month. Only for those on the podcast, though, because I won't talk about it in my email or anything else. But I will make sure that you get set up and that you get caught up, and I'll keep them open until the end of the month. So click the link in the show notes for that as well. All right, so let's hop into this chapter. We are on chapter 9, and the title of the chapter is called His Presence. We are in part 2 of the book, which is called Uncommon Communion. Remember, it's 4 parts because these are the 4 common identity characteristics that the author says that all Christian leaders must live from and lead with. The first part was brokenness, which is the first characteristic. That was the first set of chapters we went in. The second part, which is what we're in now, is all about uncommon communion. Part 3 will be about servanthood. And then part 4 will be about radical and immediate obedience. So we are here in part 2, uncommon communion. Every chapter, he starts off with a scripture and a quote. And I believe both of these are good. So I want to read them. The scripture that he quotes is Psalm 105:4. It says, "Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually." The quote is by Dr. Bruce Fong. It says, "Everything in my life is knitted together in his masterful way. My personal walk is not separate from my leadership. This integration keeps any leadership success in good balance. It's not spectacular success. It is simply obedience on my part and blessing on his part." So as you could probably guess by now, we're going to be talking about the importance of staying continually in the presence of the Lord and how great leadership is dependent upon that particular lifestyle. The first part that I have highlighted here, he says, "Do you realize the breadth and magnitude of the fact that God is with you? It's more than a sense of accountability for your actions and choices. It's more than an awareness of God as a compassionate and unconditional lover of your soul who tenderly meets you at your point of need. Praise God, he does love you and he is compassionate and merciful, coming to you in ways that profoundly identify with your pain and suffering. But the God who says he is with you is also sovereign, holy, and just. He is the Ancient of Days and the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer and judge of mankind. All that he is and all that he has is wrapped up in his presence. His power, grace, love, mercy, holiness, strength, and wisdom. When you have him, you have it all. To realize that God's presence is with you is a staggering, incomprehensible reality. The realization should cause you to fall on your knees and worship." I loved how he put that, particularly how he says, all that he has and all that he is wrapped up in his presence. And when you have him, you have it all. That is just, I don't know, that just sat with me for a few reasons. One, he's absolutely right. When you think about the totality of who the Lord is and all that he encompasses, and you think about the fact that we have access to that as believers, and we think about the fact that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who is here to help, to guide, to correct, all of these things, when you think about the totality of how amazing the Lord is and how we have such immediate access to him, it does make you want to fall out and worship. But if I'm being honest, at the same time, a lot of us don't tap into that. A lot of us do not consistently, constantly draw near to him. We just don't. A lot of us are more susceptible to self-sufficiency, to pride. So it's like there's this disconnect, clearly, because if we did have not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge of all that was just listed here, to me, that would mean that we would spend our time leading from his presence where we don't got to read a book about it. But there's clearly some type of disconnect. And when I was just kind of processing through these thoughts, I was thinking about even myself. And over the years, some of the things that I've struggled with as it related to sitting in the presence of the Lord, I think a big part of it, and tell me if I'm by myself or not, is that because of the things that I've been through growing up, my own traumas and just things that life has dealt me, there were times where I would focus more on certain aspects of the Lord's character and not others. And that would jeopardize my ability to fully tap into his presence. Because even further down in the book, he talks about how the presence of God is wonderfully addictive. He references Psalm 34:8, which says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." I believe that as a more mature believer right now, I 1000% am with him on this. But if I think back to my earlier days of just truly getting to know the Lord to be able to value his presence in this way, so much of what I had gone through was getting in the way of me really being able to tap into his presence and being able to understand and connect with the totality of who he is, as, you know, we've just listed out here. And I'm explaining this because I know that I'm not the only one who has had these difficulties, because many of us, especially if you're high achieving, if you're somebody who is just goal oriented, driven, et cetera, which many of us are as entrepreneurs, we can get comfortable with certain aspects of the Lord's character, like his correction, maybe his wisdom, maybe his strength, maybe the fact that he's just. But then at the same time, we can struggle with him being the one who just wants to love us and pour into us and truly allowing ourselves to get to a fully vulnerable place to where we're able to soak in all that he has for us and all that we have access to in his presence. Does that make sense? And I wanted to communicate this again because I know that that is a place that a lot of believers find themselves in. And that is something that has to be addressed head on, so that we could truly be the leaders that he's called us to be. Because being in his presence, and not just in his presence a little bit, not just in his presence for some stuff, we can't compartmentalize God's presence. And without proper vulnerability, without addressing those roadblocks, without addressing those barriers that are keeping us from really tapping into his presence, without dealing with the trust issues that we have, that dealing with the fact that our earthly father failed us, so it makes it difficult for us to trust a heavenly father that we can't see, dealing with the fact that people who have represented Christ to us in spaces have let us down, have been hypocritical, have not been great examples, and we carry some of that baggage and some of that resentment into this relationship with him, we have to identify and address it all. Because if we don't, it's going to cause us to make this mistake of compartmentalizing his presence. And it's going to ultimately hinder us as leaders, because even though we're spending time with God, and he says something later in the book that I'm going to read that I thought was funny. But instead of us truly taking advantage of all that it is available to us in the presence of the Lord, we only take advantage of a little bit. And now we're going into the work that he's called us to without everything that he has for us and everything that we need. I also highlighted, he says, when a leader seeks uncommon communion, his life will be marked by experiences that are anchor events, milestones that permanently mark his soul. These are historic encounters with God that we never forget. God comes to us often in dramatic ways and touches our lives. We are exposed to and experience an awesome sense of his presence. He gives us a fresh vision of himself, and often through these encounters come a new mission, a new assignment from him. And always there is the assurance of his presence. We are overwhelmed with the realization that he is here. He is with us.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. It's the top of the year. Are you still thinking about what this year will hold for business? If you ask 9 experts, you'll get 10 answers. Rates will rise or fall, inflation's up or down. Everybody wants the right answers. Until then, over 41,000 businesses have future-proofed their business with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud ERP, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one fluid platform. With one unified business management suite, there's one source of truth, giving you the visibility and control you need to make quick decisions. With real-time insights and forecasting, you're peering into the future with actionable data. When you're closing the books in days, not weeks, you're spending less time looking backwards and more time on what's next. If I needed this product, this is exactly what I would use. Whether your company is earning millions or even hundreds of millions, NetSuite helps you respond to immediate challenges and seize your biggest opportunities. Speaking of opportunity, download the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/blessed. The guide is free to you at netsuite.com/blessed. netsuite.com/blessed. This episode is brought to you by IXL Learning. Parents, now y'all know this homework that we help these kids with is not the homework that we did when we were growing up. Do you feel like your child is asking questions on their homework and you don't quite have the answers? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I love how IXL makes learning fun and adapts to the level of your specific child. Funny enough, I learned that this upcoming fall, my son's school actually uses IXL, and I'm so excited to become an official IXL parent. This program will improve your kids' grades, it will work for any of your kids, and you save time. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. You save money, so if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Ladies, can we talk for a second? Do you ever feel yourself being overwhelmed by hormonal changes? You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors that are living rent-free in our environment right now. I mean, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, everything, they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the normal hormonal changes that our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today.
He says, through the years, I've observed that before God makes clear to me what he wants me to do, I often experience a time or a season of renewal in my heart. This happened just a few weeks ago. While ministering at a conference, I experienced a refreshing sense of personal revival. For weeks prior to that time, I had been struggling with how to handle some challenges our church faces. How sweet it was to experience the assurance that the Lord is with me. These are confirmations, reminders that he is with me. Y'all have heard me talk and promote my Purpose to Podcast program. And I started this program last year, and this was a direct assignment and program from the Lord. I was spending time with him, airing my grievances about things that I was going through and how I felt about the podcast industry and things of that nature. And he gave me this beautiful and creative idea that allowed me to meet needs, just underlying needs that I feel like were only communicated from his people to him. It's not like there were a bunch of forms or anything I was seeing that people needed mentorship. The Lord was letting me know that this is what his people need. And he helped me craft a program to be able to solve that. And it has been a program that has been so beneficial in the lives of the people that I work with and the lives of the people that they're called to. And my business financially, it's a lucrative program in my business, and it is extremely fulfilling. And I would not have known about this assignment had I not been in the presence of the Lord. I did an episode years ago on we can't put the cart before the horse, where a lot of people will ask questions about how do I hear from God on my business? How do I know if this is me? How do I know if this is God? I had this idea, but is this a God idea or is this a me idea? And I always say, if you're struggling with being able to discern the voice of the Lord, then you need to deal with that before you try to do something in his name. We can't put the cart before the horse. If you're going to be a Christian entrepreneur, a Christian leader, you have to be one who consistently is in his presence, who values his presence, and who understands that his presence also is not always just about what you could get from your business, but it's about just seeking him to seek him as his servant. And then from that, you'll get so many downloads, you'll get so many ideas, you'll get so many instructions that will blow your mind that you never could have figured out based off your own education, experience, or passions. He even wrote here in the book, he said, throughout the years, I've observed that before God makes clear to me what he wants me to do, I often experience a time or a season of renewal in my heart. This happened just a few weeks ago. While ministering at a conference, I experienced a refreshing sense of personal revival. For weeks prior to that time, I had been struggling with how to handle some challenges our church faces. How sweet is it to experience the assurance that the Lord is with me? These are confirmations, reminders that he is with me. He says, I have learned, however, that what is important is to seek him, not the experience, but to seek him. God doesn't always work the same way or manifest himself in the same way. And this was such a great nugget because previously he was talking about how we have these markers and these encounters with the Lord that are like important parts of our journey. But we also have to understand that God doesn't have to show up to us in the same way. He doesn't have to manifest his presence in the same way every time. So you have to be locked in with him so that you can recognize what he's sharing with you despite how he chooses to share it. The core commonality amongst it all is your connection to his presence. I know recently for me, I have been just really vigilant about sitting before the Lord because I could see if there are times if I decide to sleep in or if I let myself get too busy and I'm not spending that quiet time with the Lord, I see it physically. I start feeling more anxious. I feel this distant. You know, if you have a close relationship with a friend, let's say a spouse or anything, and you guys just haven't been talking like you should, you haven't been connecting like you should, you feel that distance. It's the same thing with the Lord. If too much time goes by and I haven't been like really in his presence like I should, I physically feel it and I have to go right back. And so lately, with all that's going on in my life, I just cannot afford to be casual in my relationship with the Lord. I can't. And that time that we had has been so, man, transformational for me. The same way he's been talking about here, this season of renewal in his heart, I feel like that's how I felt this year as I have prioritized extended time with the Lord. So what that looks like for me in this season is I wake up around 5, my kids start getting up between like 6:30 to 7:30, but I'm up me at 5, I come into like my kids' playroom. That way I could like play worship music. I could pray. I can get loud. Ain't nobody going to hear me. And sometimes even if my kids wake up early, I've seen how beneficial it is because my son, he'll come find me, you know, mama's boy. He'll come find me and he'll catch me praying or catch me in my word. And I use that as an opportunity for us to talk. To us to have a little lesson. So he has a Bible that I'll pull out and say, okay, let's read this part and we'll have a discussion or a conversation before we get our day started. And so it's been just a beautiful time for me and a renewing time. And one of the things that I realized is like when I go into this time in his presence with all of the burdens, all of the things that's on my mind, I always come out of it with a strategy. I come out of it with peace. I come out of it, even if I don't have marching orders, I know that he heard me and that he sees me. To give you the perfect example, One of the things my husband and I have been discussing is bringing on another nanny. I had a nanny for about 3 years. She started working with my son, my oldest, when he was not quite one yet. And then she worked with my youngest up until she stopped working with us when he was around 3 months old. She was great with toddlers, but with infants, there was a disconnect. And so we had to let her go. At that time, I decided to put my son in daycare. I hated it because daycare, I feel like, is designed for people with more traditional roles. I am an entrepreneur. Like, I need a bit more flexibility. And I felt like I was working for the daycare almost, and not like they were providing the service for me. So I didn't like it. Pulled my son from daycare. This also was in alignment with what the Lord was sharing with me at that time. And so my baby has been with me for over a year at this point. But with me going back to law school, we have to figure something else out. I could either put him back in daycare, I could have another nanny, or I could send him to the school that my oldest goes to because their preschool starts at 2. What I would prefer and what I feel is the best fit for our family would be another nanny. Now, to be honest, with all that's going on in the government and all of that, I don't feel that it's wise at this time to take on huge expenses. And a nanny is a significant expense. And so that was my biggest hesitation around it. Like, anything could happen at any point. I think I mentioned this on a previous episode. I live in the DC area where the majority of people in this area work for the federal government. I've been checking up on everybody for like the last week, the way in which there have been so many layoffs, so much. Thankfully, none of that will affect or has affected my household. I thank God for that. But still, my loved ones are being impacted by what's going on and just the uncertainty of what's happening right now with this administration. You got to move like pretty strategic right now, especially when it comes to finances. And so my husband, also being an accountant, is like, listen, I don't want to put us in a position where we are like our discretionary income is limited. So I took all of this to the Lord. And in one of those mornings where it's me and him, I'm crying out to him. I'm like, God, I'm getting ready to go back to school. It's not wise for me to try to say, oh, I'm going to do X, Y, Z in my business so that it could provide a bit more ease and hiring the nanny or in other areas of our life, because I know that will require more work from me. I know law school is going to be a lot of work, and I'm not about to create an environment to where it's just stress and burnout. I'm not doing it. And I know that's not what the Lord wants for me either. So instead of me trying to figure it out, I went to the Lord and I cried out in his presence. And when I tell you, the Lord gave me a financial strategy that by the time my nanny starts, because nanny is the route to go, by the time my nanny starts, the first at least 6 months of her working with us will already be financially taken care of. When I left prayer, I was like, what in the world? Like, I texted my husband about it. And then I went and was like, okay, I started like just looking at numbers and things that I had going on that the Lord told me to look at and doing the budget and just following all of the instructions that he gave me. And when I was able to see what the outcome would be of doing his plan, I was just blown away. And then now starting to implement that plan and watching it come to fruition is just, I can't even describe to you the level of joy and excitement that I have and how validated I feel, or how seen I feel, how efficient I feel by just going before the Lord, airing my grievances, sitting in his presence, soaking in all that his presence entails, and then leaving out with a strategy that solves my problem and allows my family to do what we need to do to operate well without being a financial burden, or something that could put us in a position where our options are a little bit more limited. Like, please, the Lord is good. Okay. He is faithful. And that just came from his presence. So what I'm explaining my interpretation of what we're reading in this book, I hope that it inspires you to not shortchange his presence, to not shortchange it in time that you spend, and also to not shortchange it in the quality of that time that is spent. If there is anything that is blocking you from being able to soak in the totality of the presence of the Lord, let's deal with it. Let's identify it and let's deal with it quickly.
This episode is brought to you by Effecty. Now, wellness and health are always at the top of my list, especially as it relates to losing weight and getting fit. Are you ready to lose weight as well? Have you heard about the groundbreaking GLP-1 treatments like Ozempic and Wegovy? With Effecty, getting access to these powerful medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredient as Ozempic and Wegovy, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is simple. You fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. Ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code BLESSED at checkout. That's Effecty, EffectyY.com, and use code BLESSED to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees. Get started today.
In the next part, he brings up Moses' encounter with the Lord in Exodus 33. It says Exodus 33 describes a classic moving encounter that Moses had with God. At the time, Moses and the Israelites had been camped at Mount Sinai for many days. This was an extraordinary, dramatic time. The word crisis doesn't even begin to describe it. While Moses was on the mountain communing with God and receiving his instructions for the people, Aaron, who he left in charge, allowed the people to run ragged. My word, not his. They were completely out of control, reverting back to idolatry and immorality. Now we come to Exodus 33. God said it was time to leave Sinai and re-embark on a journey to the land of the promised land. Moses was rattled by the profound disobedience and rebellion of the people. He needed a special touch from God. The assurance deep in his innermost being that God was with him and with the people. And I'm actually going to read it directly, Exodus 33, verses 12 through 23 in the New Living Translation. One day, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You've told me, I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." I had to read this a few times with the dialogue because at first I was like, Moses, you really getting buck with the Lord. That was my initial reaction. But in really taking in all the context of what was happening, Moses was in a space of desperation for the Lord. These people were acting up. They were getting ready to leave Mount Sinai and go to the promised land. He understood what was ahead. He understood the task. And he wanted to be certain and certain and certain some more that the Lord was going to be with him. And he like, God, I hear you. You said this. You said that. I hear you. You look favorably on me. You know my name. Cool, cool, cool. But I need your presence. I cannot, will not do this without your presence. That is how we need to be as leaders. And even going back, like the Lord responded and said, because Moses asked for him to show his glory, and the Lord showed his glory. He chose how he was going to show it, because he said, you're not going to see my face because nobody can see my face and live. But here's what I'll do. And because I wanted to visualize this, I had went to ChatGPT and was like, generate an image that shows this. And it did. And just in looking at it, it blessed me because the Lord heard him and he answered him. And with that assurance of his presence, Moses was able to move forward. And again, that's how we need to be as believers, certain that it is only with his presence that we are going to be able to lead in whatever capacity he has called us to. And we have to be unwilling to be unclear about whether he's with us or not. We have to be sure. The author says, there are four things to learn about God's presence and leadership from this amazing encounter. First, the challenges of leadership are meant to make you hungry for God. Moses was shaken to the core. God was all Moses had and all Moses wanted. As leaders, we need to pray that God will use the pressures that we face to give us an insatiable hunger and thirst for him. This is a marvelous place to be. The more you hunger for him, the closer he is to you. When you cry, God, I need you, he answers, I am right here. You have me. This is an incredible spiritual paradox. You are only filled with him when you are desperate for him. As Jeremiah 29:13 tells us, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. He asked these questions that I think are important. Are the challenges you face producing in you despair, or are they causing you to be spiritually desperate? There is a big difference. Despair means to be without hope. Spiritual desperation means to turn to God as your only hope. Often God turns up the heat until you feel your hunger and embrace your desperation. This required closeness to him lets us experience him in ways that makes him real to us and real to our people. He says, second, God's presence is the distinguishing characteristic of your leadership. This is the battleground when it comes to distinctively Christian leadership. And this is the part that I alluded to earlier that I had highlighted. He said, this demonstrates whether you are using a few scripture quotations as a thin veneer over a worldly approach to leadership, or whether you are leading from his initiative in light of his presence. That was a mouthful, but that was also a bar. So let me read this again. This demonstrates whether you are using a few scripture quotations as a thin veneer over a worldly approach to leadership, or whether you are leading from his initiative and in light of his presence. In other words, what separates you from the pack is not your ability and proficiency in the art and skill of leadership. It is the call and obvious presence of God in your life. Do y'all hear me, overachievers, people who need a course and a degree for every single thing? It's not going to be your education that sets you apart. It's not going to be how much you know and how much you could study about leadership or business or whatever area that you're called to. What's really going to separate you is the call and obvious presence of God in your life. He says in the text, of course, you have not been called to deliver people from slavery and usher them into the land of promise. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you sense that God has given you an assignment, then he wants to be central in how you approach and implement that assignment. He is your uniqueness and distinguishing characteristic. The challenges you face as a leader is to intentionally acknowledge God's presence as you go about doing what He's called you to do. Although I'm grateful for the many Christian resources available to us on how to be better leaders and how to be more efficient and effective in getting things done, from some of what I've read, I sometimes get a sense that God is taken for granted. It almost feels as though some leaders are a little embarrassed to lead too much with God. It's as if their approach is, well, of course we know that God is with us, but it's up to us to figure out what we should do and how we should lead. God doesn't want you to ignore Him or keep Him hidden as we exercise our leadership and do our work. That's why Bruce Fong says, and this is the quote that started the chapter, "Everything in my life is knitted together in a masterful way. My personal walk is not separate from my leadership. That integration keeps my leadership success in good balance. It is not spectacular success. It is simply obedience on my part and blessing on His part." He says, "A call to lead is a call to know God." Please do not miss this. A call to lead is a call to know God. Everything you do as a leader is an extension of the presence and the work of God in your life. Jim Reese puts it this way: "If I look at my life and my walk with God, it is so clear that my most effective times in business and in ministry are when I am close to God." He says the third truth we learn from Moses' encounter with God is that God's presence causes you to lead from rest. In Exodus 33:14, God said to Moses, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." This could very well be a reference to the recent turmoil and upheaval caused by the rebellion of the people at Sinai, and God was specifically promising Moses a reprieve from that hassle, but I also think this is a reference to the peace and rest found in His presence. Despite what's going on all around you, know that He not only has everything you need, but He is also giving you all you need to deal with whatever is before you. In this regard, you operate from a tremendous position of strength because His resources are endless. He gives you the strength to not just continue, but to thrive. That's what Isaiah 40:29-31 is all about. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I've experienced this firsthand. When you are truly someone who leads, who runs your business, who is mothering, who is a wife, who is whatever your leadership role is, whatever your job title is, when you do so from a place of being anchored in the presence of the Lord, there is an ease that comes with it. One that does not make any sense, one that is not dependent on circumstances, one that nothing can shake because you're rooted and you're anchored in the Lord. My aunt, my business partner for the studio, called and she was like, "Hey, we have this bill that's about to come up." And her thing was like, "We got to make sure we're just continuing to, because we have a lot of great things that have happened with our leases and everything I've told y'all about." She was like, "We got to make sure we're still doing more because of the upcoming bill we have, and just, you know, to continue to move in the right direction." And I responded and it was like, we'll be fine. And not as a way to dismiss what she was bringing up, because that's, you know, that's her job. It's our business, right? To know what's going on and to always be prepared for when things happen. However, in previous seasons, that may have placed me in a place of panic or trying to figure something out, or, you know, just in go mode, so to speak. But all I could think about when she sent me that was that long episode we did, the first episode of the year, the testimony, and how the Lord has continued to show up. So my only response is, we'll be fine. I'm not about to jump and do anything right now because I have other things to do. When I get to what I was already planning to do when it comes to that business, that's when I'll do it. And I'm not going to move it up or move in anxiety based upon a new bill that has presented itself. The Lord will take care of it the way that He's continued to take care of things before we even knew that they were issues. And that's it. But that's the peace and the calmness. Anxiety cannot crack that anchor that's in the Lord based upon his presence and truly soaking in the totality of his presence. So rest, I've experienced that myself. It comes with the territory. And he ends by saying, finally, do not move if you're not sure God is with you. The word of God, prayer, the confirming leading of the Holy Spirit, and the insight of godly people is essential to knowing and experiencing with confidence a sense of God's presence. Moses did not want to risk leaving Sinai unless he knew for sure that God indeed was with him and the people. There was just too much at stake. In the same way, there's too much at stake in your life to do God's work in the energy of the flesh and for your own recognition. When this happens, all you've accomplished will ultimately come to nothing. Your works will burn. And what if you're not sure if God is with you? Follow the example of Moses. Seek God while you wait for it. As a dear friend said to me years ago, the only thing worse than waiting on the Lord is wishing that you had. As leaders, let's ask God to give us longing for his presence. It's everything. And I think that's a good place to end. I pray that you guys have enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.